Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today, Enrico Gallorini, co-founder and CEO of GRS Research and Strategy, a cutting-edge boutique multinational research firm headquartered in Venice, Italy.
Events are the foundation of the human evolution. Those moments where humans gather together for a specific need, those collective moments where the human gather together were really foundational, because at the beginning we need to meet for a simple reason: we need to survive.
Fascinated by the how and, most importantly, the why behind unforgettable live events that have the power to change lives, Enrico Gallorini has dedicated his life to decoding the profound impact that in-person experiences at large human gatherings have on individuals, society, and the world at large. His most significant finding is the unique ability that only live events have to inspire and drive human evolution. Through his research, he has uncovered remarkable and enduring patterns dating back to the very origins of humanity, insights that remain relevant today and will become even more vital in the future. Described as a forward thinker with a rare intellect and a distinguished expert in the events industry, Enrico is a strategic researcher specializing in visitor experiences and author of the book In Person, A Journey Through the Unstoppable Evolution of Events. He has captivated audiences across 20 countries, delivering keynote speeches at prestigious universities and international conferences, where he explores the transformative power of in-person events. Enrico brings an unique blend of business intelligence, creativity, positivity, and passion to the human-to-human industry. Now, on to this fascinating session with Enrico Gallorini. Enrico, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. We have been in quite a chase, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Shubhanjan, for inviting me. I feel a great honor, really, to be here with you, and I'm grateful for your invitation. Thank you.
I must thank Paul for this, because he's the one who said, if you're doing a podcast and you are talking about... Because I told him that we want to talk not only about transactional stuff, but actually... thought level stuff, right? And he said, if that's really your goal, and Paul was my first guest in the show, as you know, he said, you must talk to Enrico. And he has written a book. He told me at that time he has written a book, and he has some really great ideas and thoughts around this. So I am equally honored to have you on the show, Enrico.
Thank you. And as you may know better than me, it's not really only my thoughts. I had the opportunity to speak with many leaders in our industry, and I was so curious about the idea of understanding more what's behind the exhibition and everything. So let's say that I put many thoughts that came through this wonderful connection that I had, let's say, at the right level, and put together a collection of thoughts in a sort of a way that became a book, but it was not even expected to become a book, honestly.
Right. So let's start at the beginning. How did you get into events, and how did you happen to move and work in the Middle East? How did that happen?
To be very honest, thank you for the question. I sometimes say that life did everything it could to put me in these two paths. So the event on one side, and then Middle East on the other side. So just to be very transparent, the first memories that I have of my childhood is in my house in Venice, in Italy, where my parents were black belts on organizing events. I remember this gathering, you know, I'm very lucky because I'm coming from a prominent family in the mainland of Venice, and we had this nice garden, and my parents really like to meet with the people, but we're not only party, we're a moment where we had a high-level conversation about poetry. I still remember that we had some violins coming, and I was very young. And those moments when I remember the smile, the laugh of my mother are still probably the first memory. So events is not only part of me, it's part of my family. And by the way, I think it's quite incredible that my surname, Enrico Gallorini, I don't know how many surname in the world has a day during the year, that is the 2nd of June, where it's organized the Gallorinata, that is all the Gallorini in the world meet at Galloro, that is a little town close to Florence, where my ancestor used to have their castle property and everything. So it's something incredible. So I was born in an environment where events were a really big part of my memories. And again, the fact that there is this Gallorinata, when I say to the people, really? You have an event per year where the Gallorini meet together? I said, yes, it happens. So the event side is coming from there. And probably for this reason, I have always been somehow curious about those moments where the people gather together, the reason why gathering and all this. And then at the university, just by chance, I had the opportunity to enter in a university that was quite new, the location. So there were not a lot of services for students. And I was dreaming during the high school to go to the university. You know, you see the movie from Hollywood and everything, the people, the party and everything. And when I arrived to this new, super cool University of Venezia, but not in the city island, the new place, was nothing. So with some of my friends, we say, well, where are the parties? Where are the tournament, the soccer game and everything? And because there was really nothing, we had the chance to start up together a little tiny company that organized services and especially parties for university students. That was really the moment in which I understood that it was not only fantastic to organize event, but you can also create a sort of business. And I was able, when I was 19, to do these events that became also quite famous for the region. We organize Miss University, the Spring Fest, and other things. So it just arrived by coincidences. So events is, it became something natural, and then it became also my profession, because I used to organize a quite important exhibition, and I started up when I was 22, but I didn't know it was an exhibition, because nobody could teach me that exhibition is those things. With the company that I started up in 2002, with my university professor, that was a research company, the best way to present the result of our job was to create a gathering where the niche related to that activity, that were the car dealers, could meet together. And without knowing, we create a sort of what we can call today confex, but it became big, and it became the second biggest in the world in just five editions. So that was my journey, that's good. Related to Middle East, again, crazy, because I think that the first time I came to Dubai, it was for an exhibition, but not for me, for my actual wife, that at that time was my girlfriend. She was working for in the beauty environment, and she had to come here for an important beauty event. And because I was free, it was during the vacation time, I just landed to Dubai. It was first time for me in Middle East. And I said, what's going on here? So what is it? So I take the time to go around. And then again, by chance, the year after, we went to another vacation. and we connect in Dubai and we lost the flight. So we stay overnight and we have the time to go around. And 3 years after, for other chances, we're... So somehow the life was showing me and my wife that this part of the world was emerging, was booming, there was a strong vision. And so at the end, I, probably being also Venetian from Venice, a city where the people used to travel every time to discover the world. Marco Polo is the name of our airport and is one of the most known Voyager dreamers in the world. I don't want absolutely to think about myself like that. But probably in my roots, there was this way to discover. And I find in Middle East a lot. And by chance, because it was not planned. And that was good.
Right. That's a wonderful story. Before we come back to the research work that your company is doing currently and the partnerships that you have and so on, tell me a bit about your thought that human civilization has been having events as a fundamental piece of evolution.
Yeah, I know. It seems on one side crazy when I say to the people in our industry, but especially outside our industry, that events are the foundation of the human evolution. The people watch and say, what are you talking about? That if we deep dive a little bit and we try to understand more about what is those moments that we call events, just because it's a word, but those moments where humans gather together for a specific need that are foundational today, but in the past, those moments, those collective moments where the human gathered together were really foundational, because at the beginning we need to meet for a simple reason, we need to survive. So we don't have anything to protect ourselves or to attack. So many historians say that the secret power of the humans is the ability to create stories, so use the brain in a different way than all the other animals, because we need to tell the other the stories to survive. And events were the moments where those stories were teach, share. And through the journey that I went through, this curiosity of understanding more these thoughts of the importance of today in our industry, make me realize that inside of the events, as we call, there are some patterns that are still the same since probably 60,000 years ago, where our ancestor in front of the campfire, and I really visualize the fire, those moments, and the people sitting there and meeting, but not just randomly. Because one of the first thing of events is the concept that I found it so important even today, that is the concept of rituals and rituality. So those people meet when the moon was full, or when there was no moon, or at the change of the seasonality, or when there's something big. So there was some rituality that, if you think about, is exactly the same today. So we gather in this large collective moment as a niche, as an industry, because they are a ritual. We know that we will meet in, I don't know, Milan in April for the Design Week. We know that we will meet in September in China for the Autumn Fair. So those moments are still rituals because we know that those 3, 4, 5 days, our niche gather in a place, in a specific time, and that time is not driven by the organizer, it's driven by the industry itself. And that goes back to the rituality. And the second element that is at the base of this foundation is that each time that there is this rituality, those moments get little better, let's say like this, but not better like an event experience better. better for the story that we tell, for the sharing that we tell, for the new people coming. So those little tiny steps, little tiny increase, were the increase that make us, like me and you speaking today now. So those ritualities and rituals make those little steps of human evolution. So this is why for me it's so important to go back on the basic. And it's the same today. The other aspect that is at the base, the second pillar of any event, any time in the world, also today, even more in the future, but we spoke probably later if you want, but in the past, was what I call the spirituality. And I know that it's strange to say what I'm talking about, spirituality in the event. Yes, yes, all of us have those blessing moments, those experiences where we are, for example, in a concert, all together singing a song, and we feel that we are more than just our body. It's our body, it's our mind, it's our soul, and there is a lot. The energy of this in-person experience, this gathering, make us feel something that is bigger. And that bigger element that I call it spirituality can be seen in each event is the need or the sense of belonging. When we gather together, we want to gather with the people where we share the same or similar things. We want to belong to those tribes, not only because we're human, but because we spend the time of our passion in something similar that can be the artist in the concert, or we think about religion. We go Friday in the mosque and we meet the same people that belong to the same thing, or we go to an exhibition. And this is a big part. So exhibition is not only trade, it's a precise niche of people that are part of a specific ecosystem, specific industry that gather together in a precise moment and in a precise space. Wow. The sense of belonging is huge for the people that it's part of the, I don't know, technology industry, petroleum industry, or design industry, or, I don't know, precision machinery for tractors. So those elements of being part of something, it's at the base of what we call today events or exhibition, that doesn't matter, but it was at the base of the reason why we gather together. So I really feel that these two elements, and it's just part of the journey that I went through, but these are the two basic elements, the rituals and rituality and the spirituality are so fundamental today. They were foundational for human evolution. And in the future will be even more important.
That's fascinating. So where do you see, I mean, we all know what happened during COVID. It was sort of imagined when we had no visibility of when that was going to end. We thought this entire events business is over and we went virtual and so on. I was talking to Nancy Drapeau, head of CIR, a couple of weeks back, and she told me that barring one or two industries, we are back at the pre-COVID level already.
Sure.
In most events. There are a few which are still catching up, but the rest are already there. Where do you see this if you want to project, say, 5 years into the future? I would say 10, but 10 may be a bit much.
Yeah, especially in these days, everything that you talk about the future is difficult. But again, the only way to try to predict the future, the only way, it's to understand the trajectory where the present, it's one of the elements, the other is the past. So this is why for me it's so important to talk about the history, but not about the history itself, but the change that create those sort of trajectory are important, because especially in this historical moment where we have a very strong speed of change and huge uncertainty, the most important thing to make decision is to have clear in mind that in the chaos theory, what can prevent you is to have long-term trajectories. And for me, COVID was a wake-up call. It has been something important, not for our industry, but for the humans. We understand that we are social animals, full stop. There's nothing else. We need to meet. We need to gather together. And during COVID, I was like everyone in this industry, completely lost. I remember I had the opportunity to have an interview, really the beginning of COVID, I think it was March or April 2020, and the interviewer asking me, but how do you sleep being an entrepreneur, a supplier in the event industry? And I say, I sleep like a baby. This person, what does it mean? I wake up 7 times per night crying and asking for my mother. It's a disaster. I do not sleep. So that was the spirit. But because of that fear, it also bring me, I would say, to survive myself, understanding, are events going back? Is this is the first time that happened? Why event exists? And again, the fact that for my point of view, event is not just a trade experience. It's not. It's also, but it's a constellation of things that happen in that precise moment, in that precise space, with the full band of an in-person body. Because what we are doing here, me and you, is completely different than the real in-person experience. Yes, you can feel my passion, but you cannot feel my energy.
Yeah.
We are not in the same environment, and we are only two. So on those moments, again, I think was driven by desperation. I had to understand if all my dreams, that was to create value through data, information, and everything in the industry that I love, would exist again. And my answer is, our industry is so foundational that can stop, but will come back stronger than before. And I'm not saying that, that was my, let's say, my way to survive. my way to think that we will come back stronger. Actually, in many cases, event industry is stronger than before. Globally, in every single sector. It's almost impossible to find a ticket to a concert. Exhibition are booming. B2B events are becoming even more important. So this is what is happening. Thanks to, I cannot say thanks to COVID, because I would never say thanks to COVID, but because of that disaster period, humanity has this huge wake-up call. And this wake-up call, I think, is reinforcing what always has been granted, that events are the foundation of humanity.
Let me reiterate. I mean, this is a great intro for the answer, I guess. But what kind of changes do you foresee? I mean, with all that is happening.
Yes, the future.
No, that's fine. I think it gives the context. It's also, see, this is also why, you know, why I chased you for 4 months, right? Just to have this conversation. Exactly how it is going. This is great. So when you look into the future, what do you see would be the major changes? I know this is a very lazy question, but I hope you understand the underlying thought.
It's clear because, again, if you study the past, you study the change that make the other events and the present. And if you see the present today, experts, not me, but experts say that we are living in a very precise historical moment that we call the hyper-isolation. We are alone. We work alone. We commute alone. We stay alone.
Yeah.
We travel alone. And we spend the most of our time scrolling down a digital screen to fulfill the sense of emptiness. So this hyper-isolation brings something on the table of the event industry that we have to be aware. Events are those moments, those collective moments, where the people that you belong gather together. So sometimes, if I have to say, I also think that more and more we work from home, remotely and everything, event can become also the offices of the future. Because yes, I can go to Starbucks to work with other people, but I don't work with other people. I want to belong to something. I want to speak about my expertise related to, I don't know, the tissue industry. It's important what I do. And at Starbucks, yes, I can have a conversation, but when I go to the paper world in the event, I enter in that place that I find other people like me. Yeah. And again, the spirituality, the sense of belonging, the rituality, those 3-4 days, I am part of the Olympics of my industry. When I take the fly and I go, I don't know, to Köln for the food exhibition, I belong to that place and I find from the number one to all the other. And every time that I had the opportunity to go inside the B2B events, I really see that it's not only that little booth and everything, it's everything that is around. And the companies, probably in the future, they will use those moments also to create the gathering of their internal people. First of all, because there is a reason. Second, because there is a budget. So we have a budget for that. So, and third, because those moments are very important for what we're saying. In those moments, those people, your team will grow. It's not that just we meet at the restaurant. No. So this is why I see that in the coming years, events will become even more important. Hyper-isolation is one element of the actual world. There are other elements that is subsidiary of this. But in this moment, we are already entering, and it's the question is not if we are entering that world, but it's when we are entering a world where we will be not able to understand what is true and what is false. Everything that will be intermediate, like me and you, in this screen soon, you will not know if who's speaking is myself or a very well-trained AI avatar that is collecting all the video that I did and probably speak a much better English than me. So this element of AI, that I love it, it's fantastic because technology and humanity grow together to create the best of the possible things. And I imagine the events of the future can put together those sense of belonging, the spirituality, the meeting with the matchmaking and everything. But the reality is that the world is going in another direction. This is my warning. We are already in that moment where soon I will receive a phone call from my daughter, and maybe she's in a rush and asking me for something, and I will not know if she's true or not. Yeah. And just to let you know, as a family, we have decided to have a password. A password. Because everything that will be on the screen will be intermediate with something that is bigger than the human being.
Yeah.
So for me, this is another element very clear that make me understand that the in-person experience in the future, meeting together, it will be fundamental to create the trust, to share our energy, our love, our passion, our knowledge, our experience in an environment that is the same for all of us in that moment. Mm-hmm. So again, this is another element that tick my thoughts about the future. The last one, if I can share, is that the only way to predict somehow the future is to study the industry of luxury. The luxury experiences, usually it's something very specific for a very rich niche at the beginning that somehow go to the mass market and then became a standard. And if we think about the luxury, we think that, I don't know, in the past, the luxury was to own a house and then to own something to move around, and it became a car, it was a luxury car. Then studying, and then probably taking the first flight, going around the world. And I'm not saying that this is normal now for everybody. No. But for sure, for me and you and the most of the people that is watching this podcast, it's a sort of normal life to take a flight, to study, to have a house, to have a car, maybe not a luxury car, but a car that I was dreaming and everything. So the luxury industry is very important to predict what could be the future. And today, the luxury experience is to be in one of those retreatments alone, without your phone, without your computer, without your social network and everything, and try to reconnect with yourself. For me, the luxury of the future, the best candidate is the in-person experiences. Because it would be very expensive, very difficult to find the time, very difficult to travel. So again, another element that I see in the trajectory and I see today that make me think about the future is that the event industry, it's already in the luxury industry. Probably we just don't know. Or probably again, many change would change also the future. But if I see from my observatory today, what is clear is that this hyper-isolation, the rise of AI and machine, and the importance of the truth in terms of being together in the same place and deep dive the human-to-human connection. And the element of the luxury of the future make me think that the event industry will become even more important in the coming years.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break,
I think we need, as an industry, to be able to understand better that our industry is very complicated. And we generalize with the word exhibition a big constellation of different things that have very important pillars. And again, for me, the most important pillar is the rituals, rituality, spirituality, and then many other elements like empowering the brands that in the past was not the brands, were probably the kings or the emperor in the Roman education element, the spectacles. There are many elements that come to the past and today are the base of what we call exhibition.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode.
Do you see any, from the work you are doing, from the research you are doing, do you see any specific region or specific industry or segment which will sort of dominate or be bigger than the rest in any significant way? In terms of growth, in terms of size, in terms of people being involved, do you see any shift from the current alignment that is already existing?
You know, something that it happens when you have a good observatory like the one I have, being a researcher, is that you understand that it's very incorrect to simplify and find one single answer. Say, yes, it would be India, Bombay in the next 24 hours for all the end. No, I think the world, especially in this historical moment, will have different element of trajectory. If event will become more important from my point of view, there will be different element, and maybe that will be related about the typology of events. And again, I'm not just referring to B2C and B2B. It's okay, this is obvious. But instead of B2B, it would change a lot the dynamic in specific region related to finished good, so exhibition that display content related to finished good are completely different than exhibition that display mechanical product that are completely different of industry that display services or technology. So I think we need as an industry to be able to understand better that our industry, it's very complicated. And we generalize with the word exhibition, a big constellation of different things that have very important pillars. And again, for me, the most important pillar is the rituals, rituality, spirituality, and then many other elements like empowering the brands that in the past was not the brands, were probably the kings or the emperor in the Roman emperor, the education element, the spectacles. There are many elements that come to the past and today are the base of what we call exhibition. But probably one of the biggest problems that our industry is having is that the only way to think about the future is also to find new words that allow you to escape from the traps of the words that you are using for the past. And we're still there thinking about visitors and exhibitors. And the exhibitors is the one that have to pay because they are a supplier and they want to sell and they go to sell contract and everything. And the visitor is the guy that have nothing to do and that day take a flight from one place and go to an exhibition and make a walk. This is wrong. It's completely wrong. And we're using the same words of hundreds of years ago. Today we know that the benefit that the collective event is able to provide to all the beneficiaries are a lot. But again, and this is not me, the one of my best philosophers, Victor Stein, said it very clear. The limit of my world are the limit of my words. And if we're not able to change our words, the way that we phrase, the vocabulary that we use, we will be trapped forever. So these are the elements that need to be part of a new narrative, a new conversation, a new way of thinking. And going back to your point, I don't see a specific trend. I see possible different direction where we enlarge the concept of exhibition as a word, in order to have much more deeper understanding of why that exhibition exists. Why is the real question? Why that event exists? And from that, why we can understand the past, the present, and try to predict the future. But for something I'm sure, our industry will be more important in the future.
Anything that you have found recently in terms of more near term that might impact the industry from the research that you are doing? Anything that is standing out? I'm sure there's a whole talk about AI and what AI is likely to do. My gut level feeling is it's very similar to the discussion that we had about virtual, but may not be. Do you see anything that is standing out that one should pay attention to?
Yeah, I think that I'm coming from a research industry. So for me, data is, in any case, very, very fundamental. But there is a lot that we have to discuss in our industry about data, because data, actually, it's a sophisticated element. And we have built, also me in the past, some huge trap about how to manage data. We use this metaphor of data is the new oil. So we need to find them. We need to collect them. We need to create those pipe, huge data lake, where everything, we have the data inside of this data lake, and we visualize the lake with all this data. Guys, no, not like this. Data is not water, it's not oil. No, data is just something that you cannot touch. It's not a product. And we have built huge pipelines, huge data lake that sometimes I call them data swamp. And there I see a lot, because I don't want to go too far on thoughts, but AI, the large language model, it's already using all the data available in the world. So now the biggest problem is to find new data. Our gathering are when these new data are generated. So for me, and again, I'm using other thoughts, and it's not mine, but I refer to our industry that in our industry, data is not like oil in general, but in our industry, even more. Data are like the wind. You have to catch them when they pass. And the exhibition is like a wind turbine. So when those data arrive, you have to use in those moments. That is a completely different thoughts than let's collect all the data possible and then we think what to do. No, it doesn't work like this. It doesn't work like this. Because the data that we have, we are in the small data industry. We are not in the big data industry. So we have to completely rethink the way that we use data. But some of the organizers that I had the honor to work with, I already see that they understood the value of having qualitative information. Few information to use immediately. Instead of super large, complicated model, putting everything together because we will find something. It doesn't work like this. It doesn't work like this. So the trend for me is to use the data in a new way.
It's a very interesting metaphor that you used of the wind and the wind turbine and the need to use the data at the moment.
Or very close to the moment. I'm not in that, but in any case, you cannot store data.
Yeah, and the value will be gone.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I understand, because end of the day, we are talking of a 4-day event. It's not a lifelong thing. It's not a permanent thing. It's not there ad infinitum. So you can revisit and say, okay, this is what happened 6 months back. So let's do this now, etc.
Or at least we have already tried. Right? We have tried a 365 days event. Guys, let's call it in another name. But if we're talking about event industry, it's not 365.
Right.
It's a collective moment, same time, same space for a limited period of time. That's the value. That's the rituality. That's the sense of belonging. If you spread it to 1 year, it doesn't work.
Yeah. By the way, there is a talk of doing that by creating communities. We can visit that later, but it doesn't work for many reasons, and I know some of that, and we can talk about that if you want, but tell me, sticking to the point, what do you think this data usage in the moment looks like? For example, I know that organizers will say, okay, we'll tell you which side of the exhibition more people are gathering, which book.
Okay, but this is another conversation. This is not my topic and everything. I'm talking about another level. Our industry, okay, I tell you what I see.
Yeah.
Tell me who is able to bring the top CEO of a specific industry in the same time, in the same place in the world, apart from our industry. If we start from that value, then we as a research company, what we provide a lot, it's qualitative interviews on those moments. Couple of questions important to create trends, but not with a bottom, with a human to human, an expert, not to say something, but to understand something. This is where I see the shift. Obviously, it's difficult for an organizer because our industry is super operational and you have to focus on delivery, and it's okay. But this is why I see there is a huge opportunity outside for a company like mine, for example. And again, probably I say this to me in order to understand what to do. But those elements, having those people there, happy to share, because they recognize in that brand that we call exhibition, a co-creation of value. And it's not to store that value, it's to share that value. Exhibitors outside the exhibition, they compete each other. But inside of that moment, they co-create value. It's in that moment that you can take the wind, understanding that that wind, it's sophisticated to take. And you need to have sophisticated knowledge, tools, thoughts to collect those information and co-create value and share the value with the users, the beneficiaries. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. I'm very tempted to sort of dig in a little more.
Please.
Can you give us one example?
Yeah. Okay.
Where so, for example, this can be, yeah, please.
Yeah, very, very easy. Large exhibition, you have the top 20 exhibitors that represent also the top 20 industry leader. I don't know about watching around. Okay. Design. Okay. In those days, the top 20 industry, sorry, the top 20 player of the industry is there.
Yeah.
And they also pay you. Why don't you try to collect their knowledge in a professional way and give them back those knowledge? Because you as an exhibition are really impartial. You represent the peak of the industry itself.
Yeah.
Easy conversation. You book 10 minutes with these people and they are happy to speak, but not to sell something, to listen. And again, you need to have specific quality human research people that go there knowing what they are doing, because you have few minutes. It's like the wind. The wind is passing. What you want to do? And it's not that you decide in that moment. You have to have a framework of reasoning, research, a methodology, research. And then you deliver. So it's something that you have to prepare much before to understand what you want to know. And then you leave it to someone else. Like the AV, it's not that the organizer managed the AV or the carpet. Also the knowledge should be managed properly. Because I think that in the future, those knowledge would be the real asset of exhibitions. That in any case would happen, eh? It will happen even if we don't want. Those people speak between each other and everything. But if the organizer is able to take those knowledge and share with the other, obviously anonymously, in a benchmark way of human, wow, that would change completely also the role of the exhibition. Exiting again from this trap, exhibition are business enabler. Obvious. It's okay. Granted. Exhibition can become the oracle of the industry. That's a completely new way of thinking. It's not only the archive mode, we archive all the things. We can use the knowledge to understand and help the industry to go in the best direction. So passing from business enabler to market oracle, it's a big shift.
Yeah, and do you see any organization embracing this idea as of now, as on date? Is anybody doing anything similar?
Yeah. And I see a lot of enlightened companies that are entering in this element of understanding deeper, use those fantastic collective moment using, again, company like us, but just because I have my experience or other, to really focus on the knowledge. So it's the knowledge base that is really fundamental. Apart from all the other things, I'm not saying that the other things are not important, probably are even more important, but if we're thinking about the future, I see this possibility exiting from the trap of we are the business enabler. Yes, for sure. Okay. Brandon, we are the business oracle.
Makes sense. Do you recall in the past year, the various exhibitions that you participated or worked with organizers, any remarkable thing that you saw which was new, which was thought through and maybe I say amazing And anything that you saw in the last year?
Yeah, that there's many things. And again, for me, the things that really amaze me is who's able to try something new, to experiment, to fail, to use this moment that is good for our industry to try something completely, I wouldn't say crazy, because we cannot do crazy things, but something new. We need really to, and I've seen incredible experiments about this, and some of them I say, wow, it's amazing. And for example, for me, one of the things that I always say, there is this show that I find it fantastic that is about mechanical and precise lubricant dynamics, of one of the less sexiest show ever. And they have a pavilion that is all about springs. Bring, 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 bring. It's difficult to innovate spring. The last innovation, I think, was Leonardo da Vinci that did it, finished that. So for them, but it's an industry, eh? It's huge. The only way to create something new, they experiment to bring at the center of the pavilion what they call the Piazza of Excellences. And they put, for example, 3-4 years ago, there was a technogym, the gymnastic element. It's full of springs. And all of those springs has a lot of things that connect to the AI and other things. But it's springs. A few years ago, there was Dallara, that is a car, that is a very fast Formula One Indy car. It's full of springs. So again, that was magic. Because with something that is really difficult to create a new narrative, they create a full year of content, where at the end, the event represents the peak point for the industry. The innovation, the newness, the elements related to that. And obviously, who did it? The organizer. Because we usually give the most important element about any exhibition, that is the content, we leave it to the exhibitors. They are the real content of any exhibition. They are the prop, they are the newness, they present everything. That is good. But if they don't have the newness, why the visitor should come? There are many reasons to come, but so if it's missing this innovation element, the future-proof everything, it's the organizer that have to think a way to display the future, the use of those things. And this is the way that I think was one of the best element about innovation that make me think a lot. So they use the exhibition with a curator, the pavilion as a person that doesn't sell square meters, curate the content. And they put a lot of money on this. The result, amazing, amazing. The alternative, difficult to sustain, bang, 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 a spring pavilion in the long run. I hope I answered. This is one of many things.
Great.
Experimentation. Experiment something specific for your niche. Again, this was a very precise example that probably doesn't work for the perfume industry. I don't know. But something, wow, with a curator, someone in the industry that wake up and say, what should we present this year as a collective moment?
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com.
So Enrico, is there anything else that you have on your mind that you'd like to share?
The only thing is that our industry is super fantastic. It's amazing. It's the base of the humanity. It's strong. We have to be proud that we are part of something bigger than just the square meters and the impact that we have on the taxi and the hotel. It's not only that. The return on the investment, it's another scale. The return on investment in the design industry, it's huge compared to the revenues of the organizer, the revenues of the city, and the value created, because it's that co-creation moment where humans that belong to the same community gather together to see the future. Because in any exhibition, you see the future. In any time that you open that door, all the contents inside of the booth, inside of the speaker experience and everything, it's talking about the future. So you see the future and you co-create the future, because all those people get infused by the experience of all the others. So we are incredible. We are the most important industry in the humanity. Much more important than what we think. And again, probably, we just don't know. We didn't have the time to think, and we are very operational because we have to deliver. Yes, but from what I see, I get amazed every time that I enter in those doors and I see these people connecting, co-creating value, see the future. It's fantastic. It's unique. There's nothing like this.
Enrico, it was fascinating talking to you, and I hope to continue this conversation and get you back on the show soon to talk more, deep dive even more, and learn about the work you are doing and the future that you're seeing from your observatory.
Thank you. I'm very grateful. Thank you very much. You are a super host. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for Pitchlink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.